Giants fans, welcome to Big Blue All Day, the podcast that brings you New York football Giants content all day long. Where your hosts toe-tap the line between podcast professionals and a bunch of fanatics talking shit at the end of the bar. Don't forget to check out our print content at bigblueallday.com and rate and subscribe wherever podcasts are found. Adult content ahead, because you know, we're doing it live. As always, Mac here in the power chair, and on the line we have the Disciple and Rahway Tommy. Tonight's episode, we take a look at the Giants' Thanksgiving loss in Dallas. As always, we put Daniel Jones on trial and look ahead to next week's home game versus the Washington Commanders. Sadly for me, boys, the tryptophan did not hit in time, so I suffered through the second half of this along with the rest of the world. You two got anything to be thankful for a week after Thanksgiving?
Very busy day to watch football. Didn't go the way we wanted it to. And I know, as Al Michaels would say, there were some pretty happy fans at the end of the game because it wasn't quite over, even though it was over. And the Giants came in at 28-20. This is a team that beat the Vikings 40-3. We were in a game, I would say, for almost three quarters. They didn't completely blow our doors off. I don't think they look like dem boys, and this isn't a team that, you know, is buying tickets to the next playoff round and winning this division. I think Philly's the class of the division. Obviously, the Cowboys beat us twice. It would have been nice to get a split. It would have put us in much better shape going down the stretch. But I'm not all doom and gloom. I don't think the season's over. I think we got some guys coming back. I think that we can get things going and we can right the ship here. I don't think it's all over.
Ever the plucky optimist, Rahway. Disciple, you got any wisdom for us here?
I gotta say, I was really upset. I know he had the flu. I know he was sick, but man, Andrew Thomas giving up two sacks to Micah Parsons sickens me. It really, really does.
You know, one of the odd times you actually are upset at the officials, not because they called a penalty that was bullshit, and I'm sure we'll touch on some of those today, but a clear no call, that second sack that I think was more critical, Thomas clearly false started it. Like, I called it live on the TV and nothing happened, and I was reading an article today as well. It was an obvious clear false start. Go look at the tape. Had they called that, it's a 5-yard penalty, replay the down instead of a sack lunch for Mr. Micah Parsons. So just a interesting oddity on the other side of the refs there, but he got whooped up, that's for sure.
Oh, how about that fourth down? We got to talk about that fourth down. Daniel Jones and Saquon. The drop, the bad pass.
Let's get right into it then, boys.
Let's go.
Okay, well, we know that we're going to cut the man up here in our next segment. Everybody knows what's coming down the line. So let's just say where you are on the side of the argument. I know where I am. Saquon Barkley, Daniel Jones. Whose fault is that play?
It's on both of them. It's sad to say, but it's definitely on both of them. I think that Daniel Jones threw it behind him, and he should have hit him in stride. We might be talking about a touchdown play if he hit him in stride. However, the ball did hit Saquon in the hands, and you should expect him to catch that if it hits you in the hands. But I think it's more Daniel Jones' fault. I really do.
It's Daniel Jones. The ball's behind him. I know it hit his hands. I mean, he stuck his hands out. He made an attempt for the ball. It wasn't a good ball. If he hits him in stride, you know, it's a different play. It's a different series, and who knows. But Daniel Jones has to get him the ball there.
I like the play call, and I like the decision to go for it on fourth down for sure there. I'm going to put that out there.
I will save my scathing review of your two opinions for the court itself. But two things that we need to talk about. Saquon Barkley, let's say with Saquon, even if you want to say that Jones shoulders the blame for that play, we are talking about a player who is supposed to be in a different stratosphere than other running backs. We are talking about a freak, an offensive weapon, all of these things. This is the second game in a row against, yes, a quality defense, but the Cowboys have not been able to stop the run. 11 carries for 39 yards, and I don't give a shit whose fault you want to say it is. That still goes down as a drop.
I mean, yes, but it's still a poor pass. And hold on. Something is up with Saquon. Let's talk about this. I mean, he had 11 carries for what, 39 yards, you said?
Yeah.
Okay. How about Brightwell and Breida actually like gaining some solid yardage in the second half on the run when Saquon couldn't? Is it his shoulder bothering him? Is it mental? Like, what? Something has happened since the bye week with Saquon that he's just not himself. He doesn't have that, like, that next gear, you know? He's not as explosive as he was. I have to wonder if he's healthy.
If he's not healthy, get him the hell off the field and get him healthy. Like, what, we run the guy 35 times in one game and then all of a sudden he's a shell of himself? Well, hey, I love Saquon, but if that's the case, if he can't be the guy getting 20-plus touches every game, then he should not be on this team moving forward, and that's just a cold, hard fact.
Cold, hard facts.
We don't know that he's not healthy, although, you know, I was a bit concerned when you're down in the red zone and you don't see him on a field. There's times throughout the game that they're resting him. But, I mean, if you look at his year, 164, 72, 81, 146, 110, 152, he's been carrying the load. The team has been on his shoulders week after week. And if you look around the league, this is a league where even the best backs, they have someone that's coming in and spelling them. It's been the Saquon Barkley show all year. We don't have anyone to throw the ball to. He's not getting a break there. He's expected to basically do it all himself. So I think there's some wear and tear. This is, as has been well documented, this is his first full season in how many years? At this point in the year, there's a lot of wear and tear. He's probably hitting a wall. We've had the bye, and we need him. So if he's not healthy, we're in trouble.
Then is that coaching? I agree with you, Rahway. We need to sprinkle in Brightwell and Breida. For the first time this game, I think we actually saw multiple backs on the field at the same time doing different things. It's happened maybe once or twice in some other games, but there was actually some intentionality and consistency with it, and I thought the results were great. Take the attention, put the attention on Barkley, throw it to somebody else, or run it with somebody else.
17 touches against Detroit, against the Lions, for Saquon. 15.
And how many yards?
Yeah, I mean, that was the story of that game. DJ led us with 50. Saquon, 22 yards on the ground.
So that's right. Two games in a row with less than 20 touches coming off a bye week and an ineffective touches as well.
That's concerning. One thing I would like to touch on was, I don't know why we got away from the pass after that first drive. You know what I mean? We were crushing them. I mean, you had that 44. It wasn't the first drive, but you had that 44-yard completion to Slayton. You're testing Anthony Brown, cornerback, and you know the results. You had that one open look that was missed, and then you had the one where he caught it at the 5-yard line. I just don't understand why they didn't even try it again after that. You had a bunch of sloppy, you know, penalties. I mean, that illegal man downfield. I mean, was that even a penalty? Because I saw a whole thing with Ross Tucker, who was an Eagle, literally said, that's not a penalty. Like, you can't, like, he's just fighting. It's just lineman versus rusher. They're just fighting.
He was engaged with the defender, and then at the end of the play, you even see him start backing off as back to the line of scrimmage once the defender is disengaged. The spirit of that rule is not allowed offensive linemen down the field to essentially, block downfield on pass plays. That's not what he was doing. Talk about coaching and penalties. That big fourth down play, 10 men on the field. Most important play of the game. And we are playing with a man down. Darnay Holmes holding. We want to talk about that as well. We have a touchdown taken away from us on Isaiah Hodgins on that bullshit illegal man downfield. And then we keep a drive alive on 3rd and 7 when the Giants D actually comes up with a stop on a complete phantom call. And then they go down and take the lead after that as well. It was not a great day for the refs, not a good day for Saquon Barkley, and not a fantastic day for this coaching staff.
One thing before I move on, I just want to mention that Kayvon Thibodeau actually had a great game despite missing that sack. He had a lot of pressures. I think his pressure rate was like in the high 30s, which is like unheard of.
38.1, third best beautiful individual performance okay the beautiful entire season.
That's, you want to see the sacks, but I'm okay with, because he did, you know, impact a lot of plays, a lot of bad passes by Dak. You got to like what you see. Hopefully we can get that absolute domination next week that we're looking for.
To your point, Disciple, want to see the sacks, but look, the guy had 5 QB hits, he had 9 pressures, tied Sexy Dexy for the season high on this team. He's second in the team in pressures after missing 2 games, and you have to imagine some of these obvious holding penalties are going to start getting called for him. And frankly, Nick Gates played well, too. I think, Rahway, you said it first. The Cowboys spanked the Vikings, who are a great team. The Giants literally playing with a replacement level players and like their 7th left guard gave them a fight. And a couple critical plays could have been the difference in this game. You hate to see it. It still hurts. But this team fought a couple of days removed from the game. I'm feeling pretty okay. Everything is still in front of this team. We're going into December with games to play and to actually pay attention to. That's as much as you could ask for right now. So let's go ahead and move right on to our weekly segment, the Daniel Jones Court. Daniel Jones' entire season is an audition to be the long-term answer. Jones is 7-4. However, until a new contract is signed, the jury is still out.
Not a great game for Daniel Jones here, man. He did have a few nice throws, but at the end of the day, I'm not sure if it was the coaching or what, but I just can't feel confident when the quarterback's only throwing 120 yards. Isn't that what he had?
228 and a touchdown, no turnovers for 60% completion rating. What the fuck are you talking about?
No. Okay, wait, hold on. How much of that was in garbage time after the game was out of reach?
I don't care.
I do.
You got one drive. They were down 2 scores there at the end. They moved the ball down the field, bring the game within 8 points. So that last drive, yeah, they're down 2 scores, not a lot of time left. But, you know, 228, 21 for 35, that's 60%. Only 14 rushing yards. So, again, we go back to coaching. You know, where are the designed runs? The run game's not working. 39 yards for Saquon. We got to get DJ going. The play calls obviously weren't there for that. But, you know, he did in the end throw for 228 yards. These are numbers that at the beginning of the year were numbers that were good enough when we didn't turn the ball over to win football games. But, you know, we've said it a bunch of times here. You're playing with replacement players. You're playing with no wide receivers outside of Darius Slayton that plan to be with the team this year. And remember, he's another guy that beginning of the year wasn't looking like someone that was going to be a key contributor. And for the season, you know, Daniel Jones is over 2,000 yards. 64.6%, so he's thrown for over 60%. You know, these are things that we've seen improvement on. You know, his touchdown to interception ratio, 10 touchdowns to 4 interceptions, 450 yards rushing, 4 touchdowns on the ground, 1 fumble for the year. The fumbleitis that he suffered from, you know, the first few years would have been enough this year. We wouldn't need to hold this court. It would be he's done. But he turned that around. You know, I don't put this one all on him. I put this on we didn't have the guys out there to be competitive. Guys are hurt. We had some bad situations on the field that, you know, you got to put on the coaches. So maybe for the first time this year, we saw some growing pains from Coach Daboll as a first-year head coach. And, you know, I don't think all on Daniel Jones. I think the lack of a run game here is what led to us being down, you know, 2 scores going into that last drive.
Rahway, finally some logic from someone on this podcast. How can we possibly say that Saquon is the be-all, end-all, and he's the reason that's driving this team, and yada, 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 and in 2 back-to-back games where he has less than 40 yards rushing, that Daniel Jones is still somehow the problem? Like, am I on crazy pills?
Yes.
Like, what the fuck do you want?
Listen, is it too much to ask for my quarterback to have 300 yards and 3 touchdowns like fucking Mike White?
Okay, so do you really think that Mike White on this team, on this roster, would put up the same statistics? Also, mind you, 3 weeks ago, when we talked about David Mills, or whatever the hell his name is for the Texans, Davis Mills, excuse me, Bench City, bye-bye. He put up 300 plus yards, and we're like, well, you know, what would you want? You know, 300 yards in a losing effort, or the Daniel Jones stats? And we were like, well, Daniel Jones, because the team won. Now all of a sudden, oh, no, well, we need him to have 300-yard plus games. Look at what's happening on the field. What the fuck?
But we're still only putting up 20 points a game, man. It's unacceptable. So when's the last time this team scored 30? Yes, that's a part. That's a quarterback stat.
Potentially a millennium ago.
Yes, over 1,000 days.
Do you really think that Daniel Jones is even in the top three problems of why this Giants offense?
No, but I don't think he's good enough to not justify not being upgraded still.
Again, what are we looking at from an upgrade standpoint? The draft is a complete crapshoot. You have to trade up to get a guy if you want. What free agents are out there that are a clear upgrade? Like, tell me, give me a solution here.
Honestly, Jimmy Garoppolo is sounding a lot better.
Jimmy Garoppolo would get eaten alive behind this offensive line. He can't move the way that Daniel Jones can move.
Yeah, but Daniel can't pass the way that Jimmy G does.
Jimmy G is currently throwing to a literally all Madden team. Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle behind an offensive line that features two very good tackles. Like, what? And I don't understand in what world that Jimmy Garoppolo would even look like the mediocre person that he is now.
But are they not the same player? I'm talking about from a left. Like, all right, here's Jimmy Garoppolo is a top 10 quarterback right now.
What?
Daniel Jones, top 20 quarterback.
Are you looking at some statistics as saying that, or is that your eye test? Is that your feeling?
It's a little bit of both. Maybe Jimmy Garoppolo is more closer to the middle of the road right now, but still.
100% middle of the road.
How many yards per game do you think Jimmy G has this year compared to Daniel Jones?
250 versus 190.
238 to
197. Wow, that was close.
So, you know, we're right at about 200. Jimmy G does not have 450 rushing yards. So I got to agree with Mac. This guy's running for it. He's running for his life.
All right, let's talk about it. What are you willing to pay? Because I got a number right now that I'm okay with him. I really don't think he's a long-term answer.
All
so,
right, disciple, then you led us to the well. You know how it goes. Season were to end today. You're Joe
Sport, Shane. All right. The most I last week I was really, really down on Daniel. I'm still not totally sold, but I do think that he could possibly be the bridge to the next quarterback. I think a 3-year deal worth $17 million a year is right around the most I'd pay. And I think anything over that is an overpay.
I think that's a bit wild. $17 million for your starting quarterback for a 3-year deal? No way Daniel Jones takes that deal.
All right, so he can go. You're going to go to the Steelers? You're going to go to the Colts, the Texans?
Yeah, he'll go to all of those places and look stupid.
Bullshit.
All right, Tommy, what do you got?
I looked on SPOTrack.com and saw they're saying in the neighborhood of $62 million a year. $62 million over 3 years for an average of about 21. I think that's more realistic. I think if you offer him under 20, he's on his way to Houston or Indianapolis. Ryan Tannehill number was 4 years, 118, which is almost 30 mil per. I think that's way too much. I think I'm closer to the $62 million that they're projecting there. So I'm going to say about a 3-year deal, anywhere from that 21 to $23 million, and that's it.
And you're okay with it?
And I'm okay. That's it. We're right there.
All right. All right, let's hear what Mac has to say since he's the salary cap guru. Fucking Kevin Abrams over here.
Don't call me Kevin Abrams. That's disrespectful. Although he is still with the organization, but I digress. I would take that deal, Rahway, but also it's a clear franchise tag. We're overthinking it. Who cares how much money it is in a single year? It ain't our money, and the Giants shouldn't be in the deep end of the free agent. What do you say? Like that he shouldn't.
You're going to franchise tag him?
Yes. Yes.
For 40 plus.
It's not going to be 40 plus. It'll be like $32 million.
No. Think of all these quarterbacks getting paid. I think it's going to be more than that, dude.
I believe the cap number is already out for the 2023 franchise tag for quarterbacks. And I believe Roadhouse can stat and correct us, but I'm pretty sure it's in the 30 to 33 million. And to find out.
But that's an overpay.
Who cares? It ain't our money.
This season. Mac.
31.4 for the franchise.
Sign it, lock me in, 31 mil, 100%.
So
$31 million.
You can trade.
What if not he says, a lot of money to find out if Daniel Jones is the guy for the next 10 years. I would rather overpay him for 1 year and be sure, then move on, then let him walk and see him turn into a top 10 quarterback with another organization. That opportunity cost is way too high. He deserves one more year for this team to not be as much of a dumpster fire. And with that, gentlemen, the court is adjourned. As our favorite former defensive coordinator would say, we're on to Washington.
Washington Redskins, go fuck yourself.
Oh, boy. Well, listen, the Washington Commanders, man, they're pretty hot, man. 6-1 in the last seven. You got Chase Young possibly coming back. You got Taylor Heinicke lighting it up. I mean, the Giants need this game. I'm sorry. I will be very upset if we lose and go to 7-5 when we start 7-2, right? We did start 7-2, correct?
That sounds right to me. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That would be incredibly unfortunate to lose this game. It's a must-win game as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. It's a must-win because I think we need to take these two games against the Commanders and to get to the playoffs. We got to win these two games because I don't see much room in the rest of the schedule. First off, if we could only hope that Ron Rivera is as inept as the leadership of the Washington Commanders with the Sean Taylor debacle, which is just terrible for a guy that, you know, lost his life way too early to roll out a mannequin that you would see at Dick's Sporting Goods. But, you know, Riverboat Ron seems to be getting it done with Taylor Heinicke. And you look at the numbers, he's 7 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. You don't look at his numbers and think of this sexy quarterback, but he wins. He wins football games for them. And that's the reason the guy they traded for is not going to see the field barring injury or total collapse. Hopefully Chase Young is another week away from coming back. And hopefully if he comes back, you know, it's going to be his first game back and he'd probably on some type of pitch count. He's not going to come in and play all defensive snaps and rush the passer on every third and fourth down. But take him out of the equation. You have Montez Sweat, Jonathan Allen. You know, they have a formidable front that's going to rush the passer. They're going to get pressure. We got to hope these guys that we have. Gates has been playing a better offensive line than we've seen the past few weeks for the Giants. Breederson, can he come back and be, you know, a little bit improved for the offensive line like we were at the beginning of the season? Also, Azeez Ojulari and Tony Jefferson were designated to return. Don't know if they'll be back this week. You know, Jefferson could give us a little depth in the secondary, which is hurting. And, you know, Azeez could give some help to Kayvon, who's been playing well, not quite getting to the quarterback, but a lot of pressure, you know, rushing the ball out. Maybe a little bit of help, and those pressures turn into sacks when a little bit of attention's paid to the other side. And now, when is Evan Neal coming back? He was limited last week in practice, was not going to play on the short week. How's that knee? How's that MCL? He comes back, it improves the offensive line. You know, Andrew Thomas not being sick with the flu is an improvement. So I think we can get out there and get a win and get back on track this week.
Yeah, listen, they have some good players too. I mean, that Brian Robinson, the guy who got shot in the leg twice, is playing some really good football right now. And the Giants have not been great against the run. That's a concern.
The worst team?
They're one of them. I think they're giving up something like 160 yards a game. Maybe Roadhouse can quote me on that. It's not good. And
not great, Bob.
No, it's definitely concerning, especially when the defense needs to get a stop to stop the clock at the end of the game to get the ball back to your offense. It's definitely a concern. You know, Terry McLaurin going up against who? The Giants' third corner.
Yeah, Nick McLeod.
Yeah, not great.
Cordell Flott. I don't know.
Yeah, Fabian Moreau still hurt? What's the deal with him?
I have not seen an update from him. I didn't even know that he got hurt during the game until after the fact. So
yeah,
I have seen zero updates on that as of right now. I think it also is Taylor Heinicke, not Shane Falco. Like, had they put Carson Wentz into this game, I could just see Gene Hackman walking down and be like, you know, we're going to need miles and miles of heart to win this game. So, you know, hopefully he blows it this Sunday. They're due.
Yeah,
for
he's
one,
due
right?
for a stinker. He's due for a stinker for sure.
6-1 in the last seven, and they needed a tipped ball interception against the lowly Atlanta Falcons on Sunday to pull out this victory. But I really think it's weird how well this game matches up, right? You know, Washington football team prior to this past game, they're giving up 20 and change on defense. The Giants happen to score 20 and change. Washington scores 19 and a half. Giants defense is giving up about 21 points. They're very evenly matched from points and allowed and scored. I really think it comes down to the matchups in the trenches, their defensive line against the Giants' offensive line. And as you said, Disciple, their wide receivers, that rookie Jahan Dotson, Terry, Scary Terry.
Let me tell you what I'm scared of. I'm scared of spiders, snakes, and the IRS.
And Curtis Samuel are all three very quality receivers going against a depleted Giants secondary, and Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne, Montez Sweat, maybe Chase Young coming back, even if he only plays 10 snaps, a la what we hope for Aziz Ojulari on pass rushing downs, you have to pay attention to him. So I think those are the two most critical areas there. Our secondary, their wide receivers, their front four, rather. I'm not so thrilled with their linebackers versus the Giants' offensive line.
And I really think that the Giants need to stay grounded as Odell Beckham Jr. In a Miami airport. Run the football. Keep it on the ground. In losses, he's only had 81, 53, 39, 22, but the team totals in three of those games were under 100. Against Seattle, we had 78 yards. Dallas, 90. Detroit, 89. The first game against Dallas, we had 167 yards rushing and lost the game. Time of possession. Hey, we might want to keep Taylor Heinicke on the field. He's not one of the better quarterbacks we've matched up against this year, statistically. Make him make some mistakes, but we got to pound the ball, and can we get over 200 yards rushing and just the game not be close? Take the pass rush out of it. If we're just running the football and it's 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4, instead of 3rd and 7, 8, and 9, that pass rush can't tee off on this banged up offensive line.
Well, Rahway, I think you may have answered my next question, because that is an excellent segue into our next segment. What the F would that look like? That's where each week we posit a hypothetical and discuss what the F the world would look like if that were to come true.
What the F would it look like if the New York football Giants absolutely dominate the Washington Commanders?
Back to where we were 3 weeks ago, before we lost to Detroit, before we lost on Thanksgiving to the Cowboys. Everybody's happy and talking about the playoffs. And like I was saying before, I think that's through running the football and dominating, you know, the line of scrimmage. Take the pass rush away from them. That's the best part of their defense. These guys can't rush the passer if we're running the ball consistently. We're 3rd and short instead of 3rd and 7 and 8 and 9, forcing Daniel Jones to drop back and move around. Dominate on the ground. And I think we're right back to talking about the Giants and what they need to do to secure a playoff berth.
I would agree if that were to happen, but I think the more realistic thing to look at would be the Giants win a close one. I don't think they're good enough to blow anybody out.
What it would look like is that the Disciple and I are going to be dancing in Section 327. Come hang out with us on Sunday afternoon. Because if the Giants take care of business against the Commanders, let alone dominate, we're right back on that playoff train, baby. Take
8-4
care of business against the Commanders. It starts this Sunday. It is a must win. I don't care if it's domination or if it's a win by a missed field goal, whatever it is, we are back, baby. And that means we need to take care of business against the Colts and the Commanders again. And this Giants team that I thought 6 wins would have been overachieving is headed to the playoffs. But I will say, Rahway, you said we got to keep pounding the rock. I think one of the issues I've had with the Giants coaching staff, and I can't believe I'm saying this because I'm usually saying run it up the gut 4 times in a row, at least in the red zone. They don't seem to have been adding a lot of wrinkles into the run game. We've been running Saquon right into a brick wall. Let's get some counters. Let's get Daniel Jones involved in the game. Make them stop it. Make the Commanders show us that they can't handle the bootlegs and the options and the RPOs. Then we can go away from it. I don't understand why Daniel Jones is only having 3 rushing attempts in a game. Not just pound Saquon, run everybody. Get Brightwell in there, Breed in there, Daniel Jones in there. Let's fucking go, boys. I'm getting jacked up. Sunday camp comes soon enough.
I like the bootleg that you're talking about because we've pounded to one side of the line or the other. Daniel Jones is athletic enough that if you just keep doing it, we see him carry out his fakes. There's been times where no one's following him on that fake. You can't tell me he can't take that edge with little to no blocking, a little deception while we're running the ball. But that'll come from some successful runs, whether it be Barkley, Breida, or Brightwell spelling both of those guys. Pound those guys in between the tackles. Set things up like that. Put guys in motion. You know, Wandale's out. We did see some of that with him. Use these receivers. Get them involved. You know, Washington's able to do that with Curtis Samuel. You don't hear a ton from him, you know, on the passing end of things. The guy's got 165 yards on the ground for them this year and leads the team in rushing average. You know, Robinson is under 4 yards per carry. He's almost at 6, Curtis Samuel. We got to do some things like that.
I mean, how many of our best plays against the Cowboys were those rollouts with the high-low option where it's your medium-range wide receiver and then that tight end coming around in the middle, you know, 5 yards out? Daniel Jones has multiple options or he can run it. I think it puts the defense on edge. And, hey, teams can stop it. It's not foolproof plan. The Seahawks have shown that. But let's make them show that they can stop it. So let's dive right into that, actually. And get into 4-down territory. And this is our segment where each week we look at the top 4 factors that will decide the Giants' fate. This week, the Commanders are coming to town. Who's got 1st down?
I've been banging this drum all night. You got to establish the running game. We got to get Saquon going again. We got to dominate the ground game, dominate time of possession, and run that football. Get some combination out there of these guys on the offensive line. This isn't the offensive line of the future, but it's our offensive line now. We have to figure out which 5 guys we can put out there, get behind, can protect Daniel enough that he has some time, can move around a little bit, but can get this running game going. You know, we don't have that traditional fullback. Can we use some of these tight ends, move them around a little bit, put them in an H-back type position, get a little extra help? Go back to that 6, 7, 8 offensive lineman on the field. Let them know we're running the ball. Stop us. It doesn't always have to be Saquon. We've seen that sweep with Daniel Jones be successful. We've seen Breida come in and be able to run the ball and spell him. You know, would it be the worst thing if we ran the ball as a team 40 times on Sunday? I don't think so. Spread it around a little bit.
Absolutely. And I think you hit the nail on the head with the tight end situation. It's crazy to call a 4th round rookie tight end an X factor, but he is the most well-rounded tight end. Like all of the other tight ends, you're sacrificing something. A little more athletic, can't block, vice versa. Bellinger is just average to maybe above average at all things. If he comes back this week and can be a plus add in the blocking, you put him and Cager out there as our 2 backs, or excuse me, 2 tight ends, that offers a lot of versatility in the run game and this play action game we've been talking about. And so couldn't agree more with you.
You know who he reminds me of a bit, and it's offense to defense, so it's not an exact comparison, but he reminds me of a Chase Blackburn. He's not the best guy on the field. He's not a superstar tight end, but he's where he needs to be every play. You know, Chase Blackburn was successful as a special teamer and a reserve linebacker because he knew the playbook front to back and was exactly where he needed to be on the field. Might not always make the play, but would always be in the right spot and was somebody that you could count on from time to time to help out.
And I know you have a love for him because that man was an educator himself and owns one of the best Giants interceptions of all time. Got to give it to Chase Blackburn. Love it. All right, Disciple, second down, what do we got?
The Giants have got to win the turnover battle. I mean, if you give the ball away and you don't get the takeaways, it's probably not going to be a good day for you. You know, the Giants did pick Dak off twice the Cowboy game, and they didn't turn the ball over, but it just never really felt like they were going to win in the second half, even though they had the lead. So let's change that. Let's force Heineke to make bad throws. Let's get to the quarterback. Let's strip the ball. Let's just be dogs out there, like a bunch of crazy dogs on defense, baby. Come on.
Third down, what do we got?
We gotta stop taking penalties. We can't kill drives. We can't squander the possessions that we have.
Timing of penalties is almost more important than the yardage itself. And, you know, go ahead. I agree with you completely, but could you please send an enthused email to the referee crew for this Sunday game, Tommy, because it's not all on the Giants. Again, ask Darnay Holmes. And maybe someone can send a reel of Kayvon Thibodeau getting held on nearly every game. That's an eye test situation. Dear Lord, I don't understand how he's not getting called. The dude's got an arm around his neck almost every other play. Disciple, fourth down, how are we winning this game? Bring it home.
I think for fourth down, I really think the Giants need to get Saquon more involved in the pass game. You saw flashes of it, but like I feel like they're very reluctant to run things like screens and wheel routes that you used to see under Pat Shurmur and you know. But with that said, let's roll right into huge predictions, guys.
Huge predictions is not brought to you by Facilla Automotive, but we're working on it. So if anybody knows their VP of marketing, please hit us up at bigblueallday.com.
What is that?
It's huge, Tom, huge!
This week, we are drawing a line in the sand and predicting the Giants' record at the end of the season.
I'm saying 10-7, and either we sweep the Washington Commanders and take that game against the Colts, or maybe a split with Washington.
Tommy, I'm putting you on the spot. I need to hear it. Are they taking the sweep of the Commanders, or are you praying and hoping that the Eagles got nothing to play for so we can scrape out a last-minute win? Which one are you going with?
I think we can beat the Commanders twice.
And where's the third game then? The Eagles?
The Colts.
Disciple.
Absolutely. I'm not as optimistic as you guys. My prediction is going to be 9-8. I think we're going to split with the Commanders. And we're going to beat the Colts. I think the Eagles will once again sweep the New York Giants. But I think it should be just enough for a 7th seed. I hope it is. I hope 9 wins is what does it. I'd love to see this team in the playoffs after not being in the playoffs for 5 years. But I think I got to be a little more realistic. The Commanders, I'm not sure about the matchup. I really think we can win Sunday. But going to Washington in 2 weeks after we have to play the Eagles between them while they have a bye is a troubling situation. That's why this game is so important. I do think they will win this Sunday, but I can't be confident for the matchup in Washington in 2 weeks.
Well, who would have thought the little old Mac would be the most optimistic person on the pod today? But I am going with my huge prediction is 11-6. Is that the right amount of games? It's so weird these days.
Yeah.
There is not a lot that we know about Daniel Jones. But the one thing we know, that man beats the Commanders. We are going to take that ass. We are going to smack the other Daniel, the get him the hell out of town, taking the Commanders twice. Old ass Matt Ryan's elbow is going to be freezing in the swirling winds on New Year's Day in East Rutherford, New Jersey. And while I do believe the Eagles are going to pull down their pants and take a shit on the Giants, in the first matchup, I believe Tommy's prediction will come true. They will not be playing for anything. Nick Sirianni is going to be resting his starters. The Giants will be playing for everything, or at least seeding, and they take that game at home. We've got two against the Commanders, the Colts, and finish the season against the Eagles. for 11-6.
27-13, Giants win on Sunday.
Woo-hoo! 28-25, Giants over the Commanders. Disciple?
20-17, Giants.
Wow. 3-0. We are doomed on Sunday. All right, gentlemen, let's not bicker over who killed who and end tonight with the fact that the NFL just simply is not aware. The Giants are young.
They're aggressive.
They're improving.
New York.
Football.
Giants.
God, I love that. For the Disciple and Tommy, I'm Mac. Big blue all goddamn day.